that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this last day of October, October 31st. And we welcome you here. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning in Nebraska. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. We welcome you, Remnant. We say thank you for joining us. And we hope that you're having a good week, had a good month. Here it is, October 31st, and this is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. And Jason, we'd ask you if you'd open us up in prayer.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you tend to our each and every needs, Father. We just ask that you shine your face down upon us and that you just use your people in a mighty and powerful way, Father. As we recognize that we're living in perilous times, we pray for our country, we pray for our nation, we pray for the leaders, Father, that you would have over us. And Father, we just ask, Father, that you just do a mighty work in this land. Father, we pray, Father, that those enemies that make an uproar against you and your people, Father, we pray that you war with them, that you fight with them, that you just do the work that needs to be done. We come before you and we hold up that shield of faith and extinguish any and all fiery darts of the evil one that comes in many ways, shapes, and forms. And Father, we ask for them to be completely and powerless and null and void. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, if you're not familiar with the program, Pastor started it years ago for a way for his men to get together and have fellowship, talk about the events of the day, hopefully from a biblical perspective, and give you guys an opportunity as well to join in. So we do thank you, and we're here this October 31st. We'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. And just thought I'd throw it out. I've got a couple things to talk about, but I don't need to lead off with anything. If anybody had something under mind or pressing to start out with today.
Go right ahead, Richard.
All right. Well, we'll do that then. Went down and voted yesterday. Voted early. I think a lot of people are doing that. There was a line yesterday at the afternoon to go in to vote. I know some people got their ballot in the, requested it to get it in the mail, and my wife did that. I dropped hers off. But in their voting, of course they want you to wear a mask, but there was a pretty good line, and they said it had been busy all day. And I was looking at some of the numbers from the last presidential election, and there were twice as many early votes cast as there was on the election day. And I thought that was interesting, and I think we're seeing that again this year. I hope that people are going out and voting. We put out earlier, we didn't come up with it, but we reiterated it as we saw it, the think, pray, and vote that we put out. As a way to, when we look through the scriptures, there were times that leaders were certainly chosen by God, like Moses, and there were times that they were that they appointed. They appointed their military leaders, their captains of 10 and 50 and hundreds and thousands. It's how we're set up here, and we've encouraged you to do that very thing. And that's because the enemy is doing that. The enemy is getting out and voting. I think we're seeing... Boy, the post office has had a time of it with the mail-in ballots, and they've been in the news. I think that's always been that way. It's just being reported more now, that it's being seen and being recorded. The issues that maybe not the entire post office, but certainly individuals that are in it that have take an issue with some of the mail-in ballots. And so it's interesting to see more and more of that going on.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of different things that are going on, and seeing times changing. And, it's like, as afraid, our enemies are making an uproar against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. I mean, right now, just here, I think it happened yesterday, Michigan bars and restaurants will require diners their names and their phone numbers, and they're supposed to start this on Monday and keep track of everybody. And you talk about a communistic socialism that has just creeped in, and, they went two steps forward, one step back, but that's what they want. They want complete control, and they want to know where everybody's at, and they want people to snitch on their neighbor. There was a book that, I don't know if we still carry it or not, but it was a book that went around a long time ago, and it was called The Snitch Culture. And it was all about how these communistic ways would come in, and one of the things that they would use is they started the neighborhood watch thing. Now most people think neighborhood watch is a really good thing. Oh yeah, it's looking out for your neighbor. No, it's getting people to tattle on their neighbor. It's getting people to go to the authorities and inform the authorities when somebody's got a code violation in their front yard, when they've got a vehicle sitting in front of their house that maybe not be registered or something like that, something that the government can make money on. And, one of those things is, I remember thinking that neighborhood watch was a good thing. When I was a kid, when I was 8 or 9 years old, I heard about it, and it sounded like a good thing, and they were putting up signs, "Oh, join your neighborhood watch," and it made you feel important. And my grandma was the one that she told me. It explained it to me, and she's like, how that was communism coming in, and that was socialism, and that was getting people to instead of being a friend of their neighbor, they're being an enemy of their neighbor, and that's what the whole thing was designed to do. And, you know, that's what we're seeing, a lot of that stuff being crept in during this COVID pandemic that they have, you know, that they've planned out ahead of time and, you know, are trying to do. And, you know, we're living in those times where it's, you know, Jesus, save us. You know, save us from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to destroy us, those that want to wipe us out as a nation, and have our names remembered no more. That's where we're at, you know, and now is not a time to have faith, and I don't know that we've ever seen one. It's now's the time to have faith and to, you know, to hit your knees and be crying out for your nation, crying out for your land, crying out for your leaders, and be preparing for the future. Because, you know, I was in Costco within the last couple of days, and, you know, we usually go there once a month. They got a lot of good products at a good price. And when you're keeping feeding a large family, that's what you got to do. And anyway, I noticed that the shelves were pretty darn empty. I mean, there was a lot of things that they were out of, and that was just I hadn't seen that in several months now. They've done a really good job of getting stuff stocked up, and it's like there's another wave of something coming, and you just sense it when you're going through the stores and when you're seeing what they're out of, and, you know, supply and demand, and there's a lot of places that you just can't get stuff.
Yes. Yes. And it's all across the world. I mean, you know, I was looking at France over there. They had traffic jams in Paris. I mean, big traffic jams. Trying to get out of there, and people trying to leave before this next lockdown hits, you know, and they've got people over there, their leaders are talking about the country's got to brace for more Islamist terror attacks, and, you know, it's kind of historical significance in the United States that our country was won and everything through a guerrilla-type tactic. I mean, we were among the first country in the world to fight totally different and to resist totally different. And it even goes back to biblical mandates if you do a little research on it. But, you know, when they lock you into your home and lock you into this thing and reduce travel and you're no longer allowed to, you know, they track every movement you make, you eliminate the ability for defense of a free people. I mean, that's kind of the way that goes. Our very country was designed from its inception so that if you didn't like the laws in one state that you were in or one city that you were in, that you could go somewhere else and, you know, there was a natural progression there, you know, where it was freest, where it was most Christian, that's where people went. And those things are slowly, they're building those walls, they're changing that. My thought was the other day that occurred to me is they don't really need to worry about building prison camps here or there. They're building people into them where they're at. You know, that's kind of their goal or what they think, what they're thinking about. They'll have you carry your own tracking collar. They'll have you, you know, do those sort of things. And I, you know, it's not going to fly with our Lord, but I just, it is interesting how a lot of this is working up. So I thought that was kind of, it's significant when we see it.
Oh, it is. It's the fear. It's the fear that they put in. You know, they call it good when it's really for evil. Jason, I thought that was a great example of the neighborhood watch. That, it sounds good.
Oh, yeah.
And it's presented this is for your safety. This is to help you, and it's just the exact opposite. And it's the same MO today the mask is for your safety, and this contact tracing that we're doing, we must have your name and address and phone number so we can contact you just in case. And it's what they're doing. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Hello, good morning. Well, maybe not. Remnant, remember, if you call in, once you call in, we'll get you on hold, and you can listen to the program there until we get you, until we bring you on. But you have to make sure.
I think we had somebody else join in here, too.
Might have. Might have. Is that you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think it's significant that our Bible over, you know, pretty close to 200 times. I mean, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head now, so fear not.
That's right. Oh, it's more
and,
like...
And, you know... Go ahead. But, I, you know, there's commandments in our Bible. Thou shalt not. There's a lot, we know a lot of the thou shalt nots, but there's quite a few thou shalt. You know,
yes.
Honor thy God, and fear not's right up there at the top of the list. And, you know, in order to exercise that muscle a little bit, it's kind of like a pastor used to say, in order to be an overcomer, you got to have something to overcome. There's those Red Sea moments. There's those things that go on. And I think this is a thou shalt fear not, or fear God, you know, fear the Lord your God. And when we look at that, we're seeing a lot of those things around us. You know, can you smile? Can you trust God? Can you go forward in the power of His Word and the might of His strength, you know? When you see these things going on, because for those of us with eyes to see, I mean, I've talked to people in the past about biblical things and truths, and I've actually had some of them say, I can't deal with it. I don't want to know all this. I can't. I just can't deal with it. You know, and you too, Jason. We've heard that. You know, you know, and it's like, and the reason is they have a very weak fear not muscle. You know what I'm saying? So they look at the things arrayed against them, and their hearts melt, you know, and it's one of those things. And I'm not saying that all of us can use some more strength in that regard, but it's just an opportunity to do that, I think. And we can't strengthen that. We can't, unless we can see that. You know, there's times you look at it and go, wow, that's... looks pretty bad, and it's like my response is whatever. And I mean, that may or may not be, some people may look at that as a very flip, but my response is whatever, my God's on the throne, you know, and
that's right.
He can handle it. So that's,
yeah. That's, you know, Tim, I like how you had put, I think you mentioned it the last time we talked, that you know, you can't have fear and faith together at the same time. You can't. They can't coexist because they're opposite ends of the coin. Let's try the phone lines again. Bill, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. This is about I'm in a nursing home and I can't talk long. This is about Halloween. Okay. I'm in a nursing home. I broke my hip. I can't, you know, basically even get up and sit up. The good news is I'm in rehab, and this is the absolute best rehab I could ever imagine, okay? The other part of the good news is all the people like nurses and, you know, nurses' assistants and stuff here aren't worth the powder to blow them to hell. And they all stand out in the hall, and you could call out, you could be half dead, and nobody would come in. And yesterday, they were talking, and I heard them say, two of them were talking, and they said, oh, what are you doing for Halloween? And this one woman says, oh, I don't celebrate Halloween. And I hollered out, and normally I wouldn't get any kind of response, so I hollered out, are you a Christian? And she says, sticks her neck in the door, she says, yeah, I'm a Christian. And so the third one she was talking to says, oh, I'm a Christian and I celebrate Halloween. And at the same time we both said, well, you know. And then she says, well, I like to dress up. So the good news is there's people out there.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You have a good day. I can't hear what you're saying because I can't get the reception. But you have a good day.
All right, Bill. Thanks. God bless you.
Bye.
Yeah, keep our brother Bill in Illinois in your prayer for recovery. He's recovering from, he fell and broke his hip, and surgery went well, and he's, like you said, he's in rehab, just getting stronger, getting better. Sounds a whole lot better, that's for sure. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Paul, what's the outlook there in rural Michigan? How are you seeing things out there?
Sun's out, beautiful day. And if you don't look outside, you know, it's great. But, you know, Babylon's falling, you know, and it's kind of a mindset that we have to have. This baby's going down, and, they're just putting the clamps down. But let's just think that God's putting the clamps down, and we got to choose who we're going to serve, you know, what it amounts to. Just like that lady, double-minded, you know, she wants to be a Christian, and she wants to celebrate Halloween, go to Easter. You know, same thing. Christmas, it's all the same. They're double-minded. And that comes right out of Judeo-Christianity. And, you know, that's okay. You got to love your neighbor. Well, that son of a bitch don't love me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, really. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, if people would go back and read their word, you read in Ezra and Nehemiah when they were returning, when they were rebuilding the temple, they were rebuilding the walls. And so they were doing these great things and being blessed of God, but they still had to be called out because they weren't loving their neighbor. You know, they weren't doing the things that were pleasing to God. And they had to be called out on that, and they had to be told, hey, listen, don't charge usury to your brother and put him in the poorhouse. And their sins, even as they were there rebuilding the wall and rebuilding the temple, had to be pointed out to them. And it was, just because they thought that they were just fine and dandy, and but they weren't. They were mistaken. And
well, if you don't know the law of God, you don't know right from wrong.
Right.
You know. Let me. I was reading last night in Isaiah 59. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that I cannot save, or my ear so dull that I cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." And this is exactly where we're standing today. We're, like you said, people look at the stock market and everything, even the vote is all selfishness. What is in it for me?
Yes.
You know, you listen to these ads on TV, you might want to puke in your soup, because there ain't even a real issue we're ever brought up. It's always who's going to give me the benefits, and that's what it amounts to. You know, I do believe Trump is deeper than that. You know, he's got to play the game somehow to stay in the race. But, things are in course. You know, you talk about presidents, you know, God put Obama in there, too. We've been going down the hill for a long time, but it looks to me like the line's being drawn. So, and that's a good thing, you know. But people don't know the book, you know, New Testament Christians. Well, you're half castrated right from the word go. You left out the whole foundation. You know, would you go build a house and lay down some 2x6s and then start building on it, or are you going to put a foundation down? You know, that's the original testament. I hate that word, the Old Testament. It's the original testament and the enlightened testament. That's what it should be, because everybody likes a new shirt.
There you go.
That's true. Well, and that's why I think it's funny, Paul, because that's exactly what I was sitting here thinking before you said that, but the fact that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding of all they that do this, his commandments. So, and I that's why the Ten Commandments on our building, that's why understanding, that's why they used to teach that in school. I mean, it was like, I can remember, don't remember exactly who said it or where I heard it as a young person, but it was like, well, if you don't teach your children anything else, teach them that the Bible is the Word of God, because then they'll be hope for them. And, you know, that's the beginning of wisdom, is understanding that. And that's also the key to God working with us. He works with his sons. He works with his people. And, you know, it's an incremental thing. I mean, if you have the Ten Commandments, if you're trying to keep that, God's going to improve your relationship with him and work with him, work with you, and try to, you know, continue your Christian growth and your spiritual understanding. But when you take that foundation away, people, I mean, it's saying the same thing, Paul, what you said, but when people take that away, or when the enemy takes that away from God's people, the groundwork isn't laid, you know. I mean, it's just, it's sad when we see it.
He can't take it away unless you let him take it.
That's right.
That's true, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's try the phone line real quick this morning, and we'll get right back to this. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning.
Hey, good morning.
A little thought about October 31st. I have one of the calendars that you have in your store that has a lot of really great observances and just things to remember on certain days, like the Patriot Act being passed and all that stuff. But one thing you don't have on here on October 31st that I think would be a good supplement or just something to kind of fill in the gap of so-called Halloween is Martin Luther Day, because this is the day that Martin Luther posted his 95 theses to the church door in 1517. And of course Martin Luther didn't have everything figured out, but we got to give credit where credit is due. He challenged the church and helped to spark a movement.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Anders, that calendar. I think it's Dan Pala. Sends them out it, like a freedom calendar, talks about the amendments in the Constitution and has quite a few dates that are on there. We get those out every year when we get them in and try to get them out. So,
yeah, I just thought it was an interesting thought to share with you.
All right, Anders.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks. You still going to try to make it down to church tomorrow?
That's the plan.
All right. Well, safe travels.
You're willing.
Yep. Well, safe travels. I think the roads
are
cleared up. All right, brother. Have a great morning.
If you ever read Martin Luther's teachings, you would not be allowed in a church today. He was pretty accurate.
Yeah. You know, I had a...
It was brutal compared to our modern-day Christianity.
Yes.
Even the modern-day Lutherans are trying to distance themselves from him.
Oh, they have.
In a large part.
That's right, they have.
Well, I guarantee you. Yeah. I guarantee you Lutheran church wouldn't have him today.
Mm-mm. No. Nor would the Christian churches have Christ today. You know, they just wouldn't. They wouldn't recognize his teachings. But people are waking up. They are. Had a brother call me yesterday and ask if I'd seen a thing on YouTube, and it was a Catholic priest that gave about a 25-minute talk. And I told him, no, I hadn't seen that one. But he told me what it was, and I went and looked at it, and took a minute, 25 minutes to watch it. And it was a Catholic priest, father, friar, whatever they call him, I don't know, addressing his congregation and talking about how this election was the most important election he'd ever seen, and he'd been through like 18 or 20 of them. And just pointed out how, you know, that used a couple quotes from the Catholic Church, but how they had put the emphasis on, how the Catholic Church put the emphasis on marriage between a man and a woman as a lifelong commitment, and the sanctity of life, and the ability to gather and to have church. And he just pointed out how, you know, that in this election that there is that one of the parties in this election is adamantly opposed to all of those basic church tenets, you might say, you know, the sanctity of life and marriage and the ability to gather and to worship. And he called names. You know, he said this is Biden and Kamala Harris that by their own words have come out and been against traditional marriage and have been against the ability for people to gather and worship the way that they want to, and against the sanctity of life. And anyway, I mention it because it was encouraging to see even, even a Catholic standing up and coming against that. And, not to get into the differences in Catholicism and Christianity and that type of stuff, but then I had an opportunity to talk with one of my firemen that I had seen yesterday afternoon after I voted, and saw him in town, and he's Catholic. And as we were talking, I got to mention that to him, and I told him that. I said, you know, it's encouraging to me that even there are even Catholics that are speaking up and that are saying, hey, wait a minute. There's two distinct parties here. And, and these basic tenets, these basic beliefs we have, one of the parties is against it. And it's always been that way. But it's just, it's interesting to see that even some Catholics are waking up. How about that?
Well, there's some really devout Catholics out there that live what they believe, you know, and they just are deceived. They live a really upright life. They put me to shame in some of them. So we got to kind of forget that word.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because there's a magnetic pull that the Lord is pulling, and it's going from one side to the other, and it's crossing all kinds of lines that we used to, that are established in our mind.
Yes.
You know, I'm speaking personally that I've had in the past. I got to let that go. You know, you got to take it on its merit. That person wants to know, we'll talk to them, because yes, they're starting to have questions.
Right.
I heard another lady, she was a Catholic, and this was a secondhand story, but she says, when the Pope came out and said that about them, she says, somebody's going to shoot him. You know, that's what she said. So,
right.
This is crossing line, and it really is a wonderful time. I want to read you something else out of Isaiah 59. I read last night the same thing. It says, I'm transgressing and denying the Lord and turning away from God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering in your heart lying words. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away, for the truth has stumbled in the street and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. See, and we are a prey, you know. Pastor
yes.
Peter's been a prey for a long time, and we're all getting in that position. So, you know, the vultures are circling. So,
yeah.
There's so much.
So, follow and make yourself a prey.
A lot of attacks going on all around us. I mean, the enemy is definitely the last legs. They're at their most aggressive point because, a lot of times we're the only Christian nation left. I mean, if you want to get down to it, we're sitting, and we started out that way as a Christian nation. And it's like, well, Christians are kind of cornered here, but and that's not true at all. It's kind of like Chesty Fuller used to say, at least we know where we're at. And we've got, nothing left now but to go forward in the name of the Lord. So
right.
There's no moving, no anything else. So there's definitely that separation of goats and sheep. We're seeing it all around us, I think. So God's bringing that about. And I couldn't help but think about the commandments. And we've talked about it before, but it's a big article there today about California. The defecation in the streets, and we know that God says, "Well, if you do that, I won't come in there. I'll be offended. I'll leave."
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure there are cities in California God's left. As far as that goes. So, but He hasn't left everywhere. I mean, He's still here. He's still working. There's still power, and yeah. There's a lot of things going on that are of great importance, and the conversion of men's souls as we see this stuff. It shocks me, and it shouldn't, but it shocks me when I see these kids holding up signs in schools with their teachers talking about how great socialism is. You know, it just,
right. Well, that's just what they've been taught. That's what they've been taught.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by their people of authority, by their teachers, by their professors. And they have not been taught the counter to that. They have not been taught Christianity. They have not been taught those Ten Commandments. They haven't been taught how, you know, David was able to stand down Goliath because he had been faithful in the little things. You know, because he had been true in the small things, and so he was given greater things to do. No, you know, all they're taught by their socialist teachers and the socialist program. This Catholic friend I mentioned earlier, I talked to yesterday. He works at the local university, and he's running for state office. And as a Republican, you know, as a less government, pro Second Amendment, pro life type of person, and the flack that he is getting, that he was telling me about, that he's getting from the university, from his work, you know, time, and systemic racism is what it is, but it's not racism based on his color. It's racism based on that what he's running on, and he's not a hard left, libtard, left wing socialist radical. And because he's not, he's getting all types of flack, reviews, and you know, being held to the line, you might say, by the upper people at the university. And you know, it's opened his eyes to this. And, you know, he even mentioned, he said, you know, there's two others that the university set precedence with, that people that he knows that works for the university that are also state representatives. He said, but they're hard left Democrats. He said, so they get away with, they do whatever they want to do. And so it's back to those, you know, it was mentioned earlier, those, the attacks that were, that were under, and just how the, you know, for the most part, the system, many parts of this government system, and of course it's a state university, have been taken over, you know, by those that don't serve our God. I remember Pastor bringing it up about Egypt, about, you know, when he said, you know, when he read the verse, it said our people were down in Egypt and were afflicted by, who was it, the Assyrians that were there, or I forget the name. But see, it wasn't the Egyptians that were afflicting our people. It was these others that had come in and taken over. And that's where we're at today in many of these. Whether it's in the upper echelons of the military, of the education system, that's been, I would say, almost completely taken over, at least in leadership and philosophy, and the universities included.
Actually, the education system is where this all originated, right down to kindergarten. This all, you know, the public schools, that's what I understand, in New England somewhere, they marched the kids to school with a gun to start that public education. You know, that was, this is all something new in the last couple hundred years, you know what I mean? But that is the root of it. That teacher is more important than the parent, and they're putting in these kids' heads.
That's right.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, they're socialists. They're, you know, anything for the system. See, then that's what's tried when this country was found. They had a, you know, community garden. Well, the lazy guy ate the same fruit that the guy worked hard, and they figured that didn't work out so good, and that's socialism. You know,
that's right.
If you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know, folks, yeah, if you want to read about that story Paul's talking about, we carry a book called The Light and the Glory, and it is a true American history book. And we carry it. I think it's $22. I just ordered a new batch yesterday. And that story is in there, how the pilgrims tried that. You know, they tried it, and it didn't work. And when they changed from that was when they became, when their blessings came, as far as their garden, which was their food to eat. That was their life and their sustenance. And so we carry that book. We're working on volume 7 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter, and we're advertising that as well as the little Thanksgiving packet, because that's coming up in just a month. And included in it is the true Thanksgiving story that many people are unaware of. And so if you're not aware of that, contact us. And or when you see it in this next newsletter, we'll be hopefully printing that next week, that you can order it and have it. And then you can you can read the quotes from the people that were there. How about that? That's about the best way to learn what really happened. I've mentioned it before. When my son was in college a couple years ago, and he took an American history class, and their American history book said, oh, yes, the Pilgrims did have a starving winter, but they were able to get through it due to strict military discipline. And that was all that this American history book said about the Pilgrims. That was it. That was it. And that's, you know, my son was outraged. And, I let him know. I said, now, just remember, your history teacher, that's what she was taught. That's what she was taught. She doesn't know any better. It's what they're taught, and if they want to work, that's in that profession, that's what they have to teach. And it's as wrong can be. It's just untrue. But that's what's just an example of what's been being taught.
Well, you're a college man. Your college man that's running for office, he's going what I went through 40 years ago in the local church. You know, that was just devastating to me. Those people didn't care what the Bible said. You know, I would go to that meeting, you know, it shouldn't have lasted 20 minutes, and it lasted, you know, all night because, well, I don't agree with that. I said, what difference matter what you agree with? What does the Bible say about it, you know? And
right.
I was pretty well ostracized fairly quickly, but I was pretty ignorant at that time. But it was devastating to me, but I was just really realizing what was going on. You know, if your gifts are tax deductible in your church, you're in what I call a whorehouse because they've attached themselves to the whore of Babylon with a 501c3, and that's pretty obvious because they dictate what you can say and do.
Yes.
And there's a line being drawn, and it's a good thing. You know, it's going to be a rough water for a while, but we can't go back to where we've been. I'll tell you that. Pastor Peter said that in 9/11. Remember?
Yep.
And it's just coming to a head.
It's different. It'll always be different from here on in. Yeah, I think that I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about candidates, and they were like, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a time when it's like just so black and white between these candidates. You know, usually, and I said, well, I really think that's, I know that it's from God, you know, I mean, you look at Trump, who says Jesus Christ is the man, you know, and you see, the different success stories. I mean, and everything about them is almost totally opposite, all the way down the line. You know, even to the point of their kids with this whole deal with Hunter and everything going on with the Biden, you know, crew. And you look at it, and it's like, the decision is extremely weighted and extremely plain on the face of it. It's like, choose you this day whom you'll serve. I mean, it's like a Joshua 24:15 moment, you know?
It is.
What are you gonna, yeah, so.
It is.
We're looking at that, the heresy and the hypocrisy and the outright lie. I didn't say that. I did, you know, when it's on video, when it's in, the mind doesn't function right. And you've got old Nancy up there drunk trying to talk and things like that going on. It's just God. I mean, wow, is there such a thing as if you vote for that, you got exactly what you deserved. It was plain on its face what you were getting.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there can be no doubting. Now, the people may still not believe it, But they've heard it and they've seen it. They've seen the Biden son and who worked with Pelosi's son on that board of directors on the Ukrainian gas board, you know, making $80,000 a month when most people don't even make that in a year. Many of us don't. And they've seen that. And I think that that's one of those awakenings. You know, it is. And they see Biden when he's talking to the union guy there in, what was it, Michigan or Wisconsin, somewhere earlier in the year, when he says, I don't work for you. Guess what? Yeah, you do. You're supposed to anyway. But he doesn't. And the people, they've seen that. And there's another, that's another little awakening. And then when they see the president, when they say, oh, you're the most famous in the world. And he goes, no, not by a long shot. Well, who's the most famous? Jesus Christ. See, the people see that. I saw that. You know? And when the president looked up and he said, no, you're not going to get me in that one. Nope. Jesus, and it's by a long shot, Jesus Christ. See, he knows his Bible. There was a little Bible there that he didn't want to be like Herod. When they said that, oh, the voice of a God. And Herod didn't rebuke it. And God struck him down. And that, you know, that let me know that our president is, he knows the Bible a little more than John 3:16. That he knows a little more. Yeah. Now, in the position that he's in, he can't be like Franklin Graham and pushing scripture out four times a day. That's not the position our president is in. It's not. And that's not his job. And anyway, so it just, I think those are awakenings. They are waking up some of the people, not all of them, but some of them that see, you know, our president has defunded Planned Parenthood overseas. 100%. Planned Parenthood overseas that is all over. He has defunded American funding going into that, and tried to do it here. And it's brought that up into people's face to where they, you know, they've had to look at that. And that's a good thing. That's part of turning from our wicked ways and returning to Him. You know, in Zechariah, the beginning of it, I've closed my Bible, but it says, you know, return to me, says God, so that I can return to you. See, we've got to do that first. God's already done it all, but when, like He says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people do these things, then I will forgive them and heal them. And it's on us. It's on us. I think this election is a step in that direction to see that we are responsible. That we are, and we have to do. You know, we have to do. You can't just believe in the American dream and then not do anything to work towards it, to make it come true. And it's like that scripturally. You can't just believe, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian too, but I dress up as Wendy the Wicked Witch for Halloween. One of you, you know, you mentioned that earlier. That doesn't work. You know, that's that virgin whore. That's that white black person. Doesn't work. It just doesn't. But the people are waking up to it. Hey, you have to do a little more. You know, you have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And
you don't meet God on your terms. It's His terms.
That's
period.
Right. That's right.
Exactly.
Amen. Yeah. Amen to that.
And if you're serious about wanting to, He'll let you know what His terms are.
He has. Yeah. It's called 66 books that are put together.
Yeah.
And those are His terms. You know, that's the character of God. When you read the Bible, you see the character of God. In the Old Testament, when he several times talking about Molech worship, you know, sacrificing children, and God says that never occurred to me. You know, I never thought you know, that's just not in his character. It's so far away from God doing that. And you know, but you see what the character of God is, that he is patient, he is long suffering, and he tells you that he's that way, not wanting for any to perish, but that's not the period there. That's not the end of it. It's that not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, all are not going to come to repentance. I'm not advocating whatever that is, the restitution of all things, that all will be saved. No, all won't, because some will choose not to be. They will choose not to be. They will remain hard-headed and stubborn and say, well, I'll do it my way, and come what may, you know. And, okay, you can do that. You know, if you don't want to humble yourself before God, that's okay, but you will be humbled before God. And we've heard it before. I remember, I could see it in my mind's eye. I can hear our pastor standing in the pulpit saying that. It's much better to humble yourself before God than for God to have to humble you. But there's a humbling coming. A humbling coming. Well, guys,
you know, I was thinking too when you were talking a minute ago. You know, people are so turned off to religion in this country. You could not send a Franklin Graham to be president. There's nothing that, and they're so turned off wherever you go that the phoniness of it and everything. And but you know, Pastor Peter said one time when the pulpits go dead, he has a way of communicating with his people. So anyway,
that's right. Oh, we're in that drought that the Bible talks about. Not a drought of water, but a drought of the Word of God. We're in that. I think we are neck deep in that drought, 100% right now. And
a little light now to my eyebrows.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, we're at the point that the people don't want to hear it. They want... They've elected teachers themselves to tell them what they want to hear, to tickle their ears, to tell them that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. And he, you know, and it's sickening to hear it. The way that they you know, malign the truths of the Word.
Yeah, kind of the whole love the sinner, hate the sin thing.
Right, and which we do. Right, which we do. You know, we hate the sin. We do hate the sin.
Yes.
And you know, and we should love the sinner. Because we were sinners, and Christ loved us. While we were still sinners, he died for us. So we should. But that's not the end. That's not the end. That's
no,
when God.
They want to put that festering. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, God, they want to stick that festering wound into the body. You know,
and you can't do that. You can't do that. You destroy the whole body. No, God says, hey, I love you so much. I want you to change from how you are. And that's what allows us to come before Him. You know, not when we're in our filthy rags of sin. But once we're covered by His blood, by the blood of Christ, to where those sins are forgiven, then we can come before God. You read it earlier, Paul, from Isaiah, that your iniquities keep you away from me. God says that several times. I don't hear you because your hands are covered with blood. And you call out to me and I ignore you. I don't hear it. God Almighty says that. That's the words of Christ. And it's because of our sin. And when we realize that, when the people realize that, as it says in Zechariah, as it says in Isaiah, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when we return to God, then He will return to us. Draw nearer to God, the Bible says, so that He can draw nearer to us. We have to make that first step. We do.
Well, people that say that love the sinner and hate the sin, they don't even know what sin is, so that's just an excuse not to talk to them.
Yes, it is.
That's true. Yeah, just whatever. They're okay with that. It's uncomfortable to deal with that.
It is.
So,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. But I guess I'll close with this. You know, Pastor said that truth of the word is like a lion. You don't have to protect it. You don't have to sugarcoat it. Just let it out, and it'll take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. So, well, folks, that's what we try to do. We try to just get the word out, the truth. As Pastor would say, read your Bible. Don't believe us. Go back and read in Hezekiah and see if that's what it says. Read in Isaiah that Paul read to you today. See if that's what it says. See if that's what God speaks to you in saying that, because that is what it says. But you go find out for yourself. We encourage you to join us at church tomorrow. You heard that one young man caller, Anders. He's going to school up in northern Nebraska. He's coming down to see us at church tomorrow. And let us know that. We invite you. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30 Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And we'll have a review of the news for you. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that is truly timeless, that applies with today's headlines more than I think than it did even when it was first preached. And Brother Jonathan will be there with a live message. Looking forward to that. And we'll can take communion. So we give you the opportunity to fellowship with like-minded believers. So we hope that we'll see you there. Men, thanks for joining us. And hope you guys have a blessed rest of the week.
You too.